The local Bowling Green band Sheepish Grin has just released Peggy, a tape of songs composed by the band. Peggy has sold out at local record stores, and the band's live show continues to stimulate audiences all over Northwest Ohio. Tonight, New Musical Frontiers presents an exclusive interview with the members of Sheepish Grin and offers an opportunity to hear their music.
Started out with, we put an ad in the paper, and we got two guys, me and Larry did, because we were playing together in high school in a band called Raven.
Raven, playing cheese metal. No, way before it was popular.
Yeah, we were playing cheese metal long before Bon Jovi was even a glint in A&R's eye.
Exactly.
And then we came up here, and we put an ad in the paper, and we got Matt and Drew.
Yeah, that was his name.
And then I knew Joe.
Yeah, thanks a lot for bringing him in.
And he knew Albert, so that made us a six-piece. Yeah. We did the gigs at Main Street with Jeff Engel and the Immediate, and we did that thing at Howard's.
Yeah.
We were doing, like, Violent Femmes and XTC. And
we were doing that College Top 40 alternative sound stuff.
Yeah, but we threw some curves in there.
Yeah, like what?
The Joker reggae.
The Joker reggae. reggae time, Pink Floyd. Yeah, I'm a picker and a grinner.
Yeah, and reggae time. And then we lost Drew because he graduated. And
and then
we got Bruce.
Then we got
through Albert.
Then we got Bruce through Albert. And then we lost Matt.
Great looker.
Then we lost Matt.
Yeah.
And then I started
playing guitar. I was just singing before, and I started playing guitar.
And then we lost Smokin' Joe, which was a dark day. And then...
It was a four-piece, and we made one tape in that four-piece. It was me, Larry, and then Albert and Bruce.
And yeah, we went out and recorded like eight songs.
Yeah. And then Albert had some sort of ego problems. And
and he didn't come back to school.
Uh-huh.
So he was out.
And we were
a three-piece.
And then Bruce got a job at King's Island.
Oh, wait, we recorded the other tape.
We recorded the other tape, and then Bruce got a job at King's Island. And then we got...
Hi.
And then Troy.
Me.
And here we are.
He was the best bass player we could find at the time.
Great.
Just kidding, Troy.
So that's us. And then we recorded Peggy with us three.
Yeah.
Blue Blue Sea by Sheepish Grin. Peggy is Sheepish Grin's first tape with a new bass player, Troy Raska.
And he's writing a little, and his, you know, style is different than mine, and that...
We all sing now, too.
Yeah,
so there's a powerful, angelic...
Yeah, angelic wall of...
Three-part vocal harmony.
Wall of vocal bliss.
Yeah. That's what it could be described as. Mm-hmm. I think live, too, the sound and look of the band changed when I came in, because I was, like, the biggest fan of the band, you know, seeing them when they were a four-piece and stuff, and I love the way Paul wrote, and, to actually be, you know, asked to play with them was, you know, kind of an honor for me, and I was just so excited about playing that, you know, like the first couple gigs live, I mean, I just went nuts on stage and started jumping around, and I think Paul had that little bug in him all along, and Bruce was just a great technical player.
Still is.
And still is, yeah. But I mean, with this band too, he was, you know, he had a great feel for the music and stuff, but it's just, you know, they basically stood around and played it, and now, you know, we can come out and just have a good time, let people,
stranger.
It's still strange, everyone's jumping around. Me and Paul are running into each other. Haven't broken any toes or guitar necks or anything, but...
Yet.
Lots of broken dreams, though.
Yeah, and hearts.
Broken hearts all over the place.
But, so the sound is more aggressive now.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, definitely.
The look's more aggressive, too.
Yeah.
Soon She Will Fall by Sheepish Grin.
Well, you know, Soon She Will Fall is about, you know, the eventual conquest of a woman, as the BG News would have it.
Eventual conquest.
Well, that's a quote.
Which is something we,
so,
you know,
so what's
we
pride ourselves on. So what's it really about?
It's about a person that I think together, me and Paul, between our our girlfriends and stuff, like, could, like, just release, like, this huge double album set, you know, give it the Time Life or something, you know, and, like, sell it on TV. But yeah, it's about
30 great hits about being screwed over by a woman. It's got them all.
I don't know. It's just this girl I used to go out with is really involved with this group of people in Toledo, and they're just really false people, and the song's just written about a lot of the stuff that I can see through. And in a way I suppose it is subjective. In another way I think it's objective because I know these people and I've hung out with them and I've kind of been on the inside, and I'm also not so involved with them that I can step out and look at the whole thing in perspective. And so that's basically what it's written about. And
I used to run around the crowd you're in with.
There you go. And but yeah, that's what it's saying. If this person would just step outside of the whole circle for a second, take a look at herself and how foolish she acts and how consuming these people are, that, you know, who knows what would happen. Maybe she'd be a better person.
Just as well. It doesn't move like it did in a month, but I can still feel the chill from the ice where we all once came from. Once more to try again, another chance to fail, but this could be my perfect day. The grass. And after every word, I'm removing all my fears. I need a killer day so I can swallow my worst year. Yesterday was impossible. Feels so far removed. A father's in the hospital, doesn't recognize his kids. Every day they sit and watch the life drain out of him. Don't try and bother me. I'm having too much fun. This could be my perfect day. This could be my perfect day. My perfect.
We thought and thought and thought of a name for this tape. We came up with a few things, and then
a few bad things.
Yeah, the more we think about them, the more they just be like, oh geez, you know.
Dumb.
And we wanted to get something that was just, you know, like a one word title, seriously. No, but we wanted
like a Nancy boy. No, go ahead. Okay.
We shifted from just trying to come up with a title to finding something neat to put on the cover. And Troy was looking through some photo albums, and he had this one of him getting a haircut that he wanted to use when he was a little kid.
That's what we're going to use for the single.
Right.
No,
for his haircut, because he wanted to put himself on the cover.
No, I didn't.
And ignore the rest of us guys.
Well, what it came down to is,
but anyway,
we were thinking about it, and we were at my house, and my friend was over, Kurt, and I said, Kurt, you should look through these old photo albums my mom has, because these are all these pictures from when she was in high school, and they're all these real old,
like 50, you know,
yeah,
something.
57. Was the date on the one. Yeah, 30. Hey, watch it. and so we were looking through there, and I saw this picture of one of my mom's best friends from high school, and it was like a pre-prom picture or something. She was in her prom, doesn't she? It's like flopped down on the bed.
On the cover.
Yeah, it's a picture I was on the cover, and you know, it was a black photo album book, and like had the black and white pictures, and underneath this picture, written in silver ink, was just Peggy. And that's all it was. And I'm like, it just caught me. I'm like, Kurt, check this out. You know, look at this. And we're just like, that's it.
Great.
Yeah. So I.
The new tape, we felt like we were in a lot more control, but
yeah,
also.
We knew what we were doing a little bit more.
But I think, I mean, we made a lot of mistakes. At least I know, I think I made a lot of mistakes.
I did.
You know, it's just, and mixing. I think a couple songs I mixed it all on my own.
This one, though, we did more than mixing, though.
Uh-huh.
The last tape we left pretty much up to Mark.
The last tape was just a hit and run operation.
Yeah, we didn't really know what we were doing. This time we knew a little bit more how to work the equipment, what we could do, and I think we were a lot. We could relate better to the studio.
Well, yeah,
we're more relaxed in the studio because it's really easy to just get tensed up because you're under such a like a microscope. Everything's got to be exactly perfect, and if you let that get to you, you won't be able to play with the damn.
We learned a lot from it too, and the other difference is I think there's some keyboards on this.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just
actually it's one of the songs that had the most keyboards in it we dropped,
which was
Just Fine.
Yeah, which I think might be on the tape we're gonna release. Might come back and
might
do
be
it.
On an outtake basis.
But yeah, I don't know. I think we learned a lot from it. I mean, we learned about the equipment a little bit more.
It was at a point when we all had some things we had to do for like the first like in June, and it was getting to a point where everything was like. We didn't have any gigs and stuff, and we had a lot of stuff that was, we had a lot of songs that we, you know, had new songs that we had written and that we wanted to get down. And Troy was away for a week, and we didn't have anything lined up as far as gigs, and it was just sort of like we had to do something. So I called up the studio and reserved time, just like on my own, and I, you know, and Troy came back and we told him that we had the time reserved, and that's just, it was just, pretty much basically for morale,
I think, to pick us, you know. And I think it came at a good time, too, because we recorded it when we were still in the transition period of switching over, you know, trying to make, you know, a new name for ourselves, or, you know, the new look and new sound.
And it
also came at a good time because we were playing, a lot of the first gigs we played together as this band were for the Toledo Songwriters Association. And we were getting up and playing for an hour or 45 minutes of all original music. You know, just like, you know, boom, 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 you know, one after another. And I think that helped me learn the songs, the older songs. And it also helped, you know, mold the new songs and you know, into complete compositions and things like that. So it came at a good time to record it because we had been, that's all we've been playing was original. We hadn't gotten too many gigs and bars or anything where we had to, like, you know.
Play a whole night's with
the
stuff.
Yeah, and mix up, you know, a bunch of covers and originals together.
Bike by Sheepish Grin.
It's about my bike.
And he likes it.
And I wrote it. It was one morning. It was a fall. It was this fall. It was the morning of Fall Fest last year.
1987.
Yeah. And I was sitting, waiting for friends to come over. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. And I just had an acoustic and I...
And you did this.
I kind of did this riff that, like...
Don't say where you stole it from.
It's a blatant ripoff from Husker Du's Flip Your Wig.
But it wasn't unintentional, though.
Yeah, well, it just... I had that, and I just, boom, it just
started whoosh, singing.
Yeah, and it's just like 5 minutes. It was less than 5 minutes.
It's a neat blue bike, too.
Yeah.
It was done. Recently stolen.
And stolen back.
And stolen back.
I reacquired it. I followed a girl all the way across campus, and I stole the sucker. I was running from Ridge Street to the...
You ran from, like, Poly Ice down to the design building, chasing this girl.
And just running through crowds and people, and found the bike rack where she had it, and she didn't lock it up, so I hopped on it and took off.
So it was...
It was quite a day.
Restolen. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't actually stealing. No. Again.
No.
See?
Yeah, I just took back what was rightfully mine.
What's mine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's the story behind that song and that bike.
Because I One Legged Shuffle with Bruce was still in the band.
Yeah, it was just
that was kind of a three-part kind of a thing. We just all started jamming.
It was sort of a practice jam that I didn't have words for until
before we went into the studio. Yeah.
Another one of our ocean songs.
And, songs about oceans.
That's the next in the series of Time Life.
And Mrs. Wilson was I just had that riff. And that, you know, that, and, I mean, as far as...
But, yeah, we put that swing thing
wanting
on.
To do, yeah, a little, something a little...
I started doing that.
Yeah.
Because I'd just seen Rumble the night before, and I was liking some of the rhythms that they were doing, so I just did that for the hell of it.
They're great.
And
added the percussion. Because
it used to sound different.
Mrs.
When we
Wilson?
First started doing it, yeah, that one section was, like, different. It wasn't... It didn't have that kind of pseudo Latin kind of thing to it.
And you put the fish on there on the tape.
Yeah.
And the
shakers.
And the claves and the shaker and everything. And
yeah, I mean, definitely. Like, I mean, something that's different just, as far as a groove.
I can see, yeah, there are. Yeah, and that's.
And if, I think if Dressful would have made it another outtake we did, if it would have made it on the tape, that would have continued the swing type feel. Uh-huh.
It's just something different because we don't like to do the same sound. Because that gets really dull to listen to and to play, too, if all your songs are pretty much the same. Because we've seen bands that are just like, they start and they might as well not put space between the songs because they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And it's just
I mean, I
want to
keep, I mean, I like kind of quirky
eclectic,
songs. Like,
yeah.
We like to be able to just change and do these really radically different feels and sounds.
One-Legged Shuffle by Sheepish Grin.
It's just another evening to be on my own and left in disbelieving it won't show.
liners on, but they don't work. I'll be the first to admit that I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. I can keep my eyes on you and you wouldn't seem to care at all. Start some conversation and I borrow your light. I light my smoke and blow it in your eyes. So the way it looks, I'm writing this one off is another time. The car ride home is coming, we'll be back at home before I know we were gone. And all of the college radio personalities are paired off and repaid. I'll take what's left to want it anyway.
Personality paid off and prepaid.
That's pretty much it. It's just a song about like
being cool.
Yeah, about really cool people.
People who think they're really cool.
Yeah, and name droppers and
people who like go get autographed
telephone
t-shirts
users.
Of Billy Bragg, Robin Hitchcock.
Yeah, name droppers and telephone users.
There you go.
That's what it's about.
Telephone users.
You heard me.
Everybody, I think everybody uses the telephone to a certain extent.
Yeah, but they don't use it like.
Like these
the
people
name droppers do.
Take by Sheepish Grin. We'll be right back with more music from Sheepish Grin right after this.
Help me forget the morning, likewise forget the day. And if I'm lucky, I'll forget you ever passed this way. As I turn my brain to jello, with every glassful that I take, I bow my head and say a prayer to die before I wake. When I
made my final statement. It wasn't final as I thought. I turned some television on and lost what I had caught. As the worries eat my stomach and you're sucking on his neck, you'll find me burning bridges, but I haven't burned yours yet.
Burned yours yet? A cappella by Paul Johnson.
Well, I had the words as like kind of a poem, and for a while, and then I took a drive out in the country, like country roads, like.
Sort of borrowed my car, didn't you?
No, I had my blue car.
Oh, okay.
And I was just driving around, and I started getting that, you know, that kind of like pseudo barbershop type thing going, you know, the "Help Me," and I just like, wow, I was really psyched about it.
What a charred corpse.
Yeah, I just really was like, whew, that's great. And
we did it at dry dock. You did it.
Yeah, that's the first time I did it. It was right before that when I got that.
Because you broke all the strings available.
Yeah.
On every guitar.
On every guitar available.
Even the people's guitars you were borrowing.
Like, while people were restringing guitars,
We needed a time killer.
So I just did it, and it. I thought it
surprised the hell out of everybody.
And I mean, as far as putting music to it, I figured out what the chords were before, but I think it sounds better just.
It's weird when he does it because bars get quiet when he does it.
Sometimes.
Well, it's just a weird it's a weird effect though, like an entire bar just like going silent.
Well, I think it surprises people when someone's up there at the mic just singing, you know. It kind of throws them, kind of like, what's this guy think he's doing? But I think it usually goes over pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think the lyrics are pretty self-explanatory. Through My Teeth is about a weekend that I went home to see my parents, and
he's getting the big hassles.
Yeah.
Where's school going?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And I basically lied through my teeth. And then I had this girl I was seeing up here, and I drove up and saw her that night. And I lied to my parents about getting the car. I told them I was going to a friend's house. I drove to Bowling Green, and I saw her.
Had a miserable weekend.
From Dayton. No, it was a great night.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a great weekend, but I lied a lot. And that's basically where it came from.
Yeah.
the gold and through my teeth. From a Sheepish Grin recording session dating to last fall.
We did that tape really fast.
It was only...
We didn't even have any plans.
It was an afternoon. It was completely done in an afternoon.
We recorded all the music tracks, just boom, 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 boom. And if we screwed up a song, we just...
Skipped it, went on to something else.
And we recorded what we recorded, and that... And those were...
It was weird, because we had been playing the U2, was it?
Yeah, Trip to Your Wife.
Trip to Your Wife. We've been playing it in practice like twice, and we just did it just for the hell of it, and it worked out.
Yeah.
And we just kept it because we kind of liked it. And we ended up forgetting to record I Like My Bike, which was our best tune at the time.
And Completed was also written
and
back
Completed,
then.
Yeah. We forgot both of them.
Yeah, just because we did it so fast, and then we ended up like, She Ain't That Fat. It was a really kind of lame song, and I don't know why we recorded that, and we could have put some better stuff on.
Haircut was it could be a sister song to Through My Teeth in a lot of ways, just because like the last verse was kind of you know, because the parents were hassling me and stuff about my hair, and a lot of the other stuff too is just, I don't know, it's like self-belief and self-faith a lot of times, you know. And I think too, by and large, I don't think a lot of people would, I don't think would like just to hear all this drudgery and like, yeah, everything is bad in the world and stuff like that. And then I wrote the song, you know, as a pretty hopeful song, you know, like days to come look brighter through smiling eyes. You know, if you keep a good attitude about everything, I think, you know, you can probably get through the hardest times. So, I don't know. But yeah, it has references to that chick in it again. So, so can't shake it.
Haircut by Sheepish Grin. The members of Sheepish Grin try to further local music by supporting local bands and artists.
We've had Braille Radio open with us. We
just trying, yeah.
Just getting bands that are starting out, they only have an hour probably of stuff they can do. The way that the bar scene is around here is they're wanting commercially viable acts, and a lot of the...
They won't take a chance on a new band.
Yeah, they won't take a chance on a new band, so we want to...
It's like the Catch-22.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't play in my bar unless you've played in somebody else's or you played around somewhere, and
And you can't get a following unless you play it around somewhere.
Exactly. So and they don't want
to. We just want to give bands that are normally wouldn't have a chance to be seen just to be seen.
Because we had about the same thing happen with us.
With art school letting us open up for
art
them.
Art school's opened us. And even way back to like The Immediate.
Yeah.
When we were working with.
And there's some great stuff around. I mean, there's a.
It's unheard even.
There's some talent around here that's, I think, is rivals any place. I mean, really great original. Well, come on, Larry.
Hushed tones.
You know I would. Come on, let's be real here, okay?
Oh, yeah, come on.
Be serious.
What is happening?
But,
oh, who the hell do we think we are, huh?
Yeah.
There's just some original music around here that's just
a lot of great bands for you.
And a lot of it's the attitude of, the whole attitude of the...
The area.
Yeah, it's very...
It's a lot... It's more difficult to start liking a local band, I think, in a way, because they don't have
It's almost like if you're local, it's...
You're not like a real band.
Yeah,
you're just a local band.
You're just... Yeah.
Even though you're making good music.
Uh-huh. So we just... Basically, I mean, I think if we... If we get enough people out and enough new bands started, that, you know, people are going to be forced to wake
notice.
Up.
Yeah, and I think it's good too because it's bringing out a lot of new music and music that's been written by these bands too.
Yeah,
And like by and large, the bar scene in Toledo, and Bowling Green bar scene, just the area is like really not receptive to like original music and bands doing their own thing. And I think that we're starting to change that with us in art school and even some of the other bands exchange playing
can't
originals.
Take credit for that.
Well, not everyone. I mean, as
we
a whole.
Yeah. We as a collective, okay. You know, like MTV. all the bands. Yeah.
There's a lot of bands.
All the way up.
Because there's like a really large right now. There's a large number of bands.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like
There's that thing coming up in November, which
at
is
Howard's,
gonna,
yeah.
Should
yeah.
be.
But
real
I mean, just at this point though, I mean, now that I think about it, in like the 5 years that I've been here, this is like the most bands around that I think I've seen so far. It's just a large number, and they're not just like throwing together little things. There's a lot of
people working
kinda
hard,
like complete
a lot of people,
bands.
Yeah, trying to do something that is theirs.
They're not just sort of throwing together things for like.
That's what we want to encourage, basically, is people to do something that's all their own.
Mm-hmm.
That each band do something that is, that they can, you know. Oh, that's, you know, that's the exchange. You know, I could, just like, you know, instead of what the bar scene wants is a bunch of cover bands. That'll get people in there and get them drinking. They don't care anything about the music. And we want to try to get the newer, younger bands to
try and do something else.
Do something that, yeah, do what they want to do.
Right.
You know, be individual.
Mm-hmm. Because that just helps everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's doing stuff like that, it gets the whole...
And it's a lot more exciting.
It's the audience and the people more in tune to local stuff that they haven't heard before. They get a little bit more adventurous, I think.
Yeah, even outside of the town, if one band would succeed, or you know, if one band's name gets out, you know, I think ultimately people can look back and go, well, if these guys are from here, what else does this have to offer? I mean, even with like the quotes in Rolling Stone in the article about the pop culture, by having, you know, them say from local band the sign, from the local band exchange, things like that in a national magazine, they're thinking Bowling Green, wow, they have a couple local bands, and it, who knows, you know, it might turn some ears here.
We'll be right back.
Cold Ones by Sheepish Grin.
It's the song about the beginning is a song about somebody who I secondhandly found out that she had said something about the band. And I was very, you know.
Was that the one she said we were overrated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so it was basically just
kind of a
reply
little
to
yeah,
failed. Uh-huh. And it didn't start out to be that way because originally you had the ending written about the carrying on the cold ones and
yeah.
everything, and then you had to make up words for the first half, so you made up the words and they didn't have anything to do with the
yeah,
last
yeah, so
part.
They're basically two different.
It's like two different songs.
Uh-huh.
Almost.
The ending is basically just about, you know,
cold ones.
Yeah. Well, not well. It's more about just like it's pretty self-evident, I think.
Alcohol praise again.
Yeah.
With the triumphant anthemic type ending, you know.
Carry on. His harmonies.
Completed by Sheepish Grin. New Musical Frontiers is produced by Christopher Comer. For the cutting edge of new music in America, New Musical Frontiers.
Yeah. Not how hard you pull the line.